I wanna grow up to be a politician and take over this beautiful land.
Who wants to grow up to be a politician? Well, it turns out many young people do not. They do not want to run for office. We will talk about why and what that means for society during this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We will talk with a guest who says that this shortage of young politicians is going to have some negative effects for society, and we will talk about what can be done to encourage young people to become active in politics. 1-800-642-1234. What do you think? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Jennifer Lawless, a professor of government and director of the Women in Politics Institute at American University. She is the author of several books, including Running from Office, Why Young Americans Are Turned Off to Politics. She was quoted heavily in a recent U.S. News and World Report article, Why Young People Are Not Interested in Public Service. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, so surveys have found that fewer people are interested in running for office. As many as 89% of the young people that you spoke with in researching your book, for example, said they had no interest in running for office. Is this lower than previous generations?
We don't know, because as important as it is to track whether young people are interested in engaging in public service, Richard Fox and I actually conducted the first national survey of young people's political ambition. But what I can tell you is the kind of factors that make people more interested, like talking to their family and friends, taking political science classes, following the news, those things have gone down over time. So it's likely that levels of ambition among young people are lower now than they've been in the past.
Yeah. Well, and I'm thinking, you know, way back when, growing up to be president was kind of a big deal, and maybe a lot more of us thought we were going to do that. Why do we think fewer young people are interested in running for office?
The basic argument we make in the book is that Washington has turned off an entire generation. Young people today, high school and college students, have grown up only knowing the dysfunction that comes from the federal government and Washington, D.C. For many of them, their first political memory was Bill Clinton lying about his affair with Monica Lewinsky. For others, it was George Bush lying about weapons of mass destruction. And since then, they've only seen examples of dysfunction, gridlock, stalemate, government shutdowns. They don't think about running for office or electoral politics as an effective way to improve society.
Why would this dysfunction make holding public office less appealing? Why wouldn't you want to go clean house?
Well, one of the main factors that we uncovered was that young people believe they have strong leadership traits. They think that they care about people. They think they're smart. Many of them self-assess as hardworking. And these are not any of the qualities they see in elected officials. And so what we found from our national survey and then our extensive interviews with them was that when they think about the kinds of traits that you need to get by as a politician, they think of dishonesty and selfishness and corruption. They don't think that the kinds of qualities and traits that they have would do them any good in the political system.
And how did we see this issue play out in the period where Republicans were struggling to find a replacement for House Speaker John Boehner?
Well, I think our top elected officials in Congress made it clear that it's not very much fun to even be in the House of Representatives anymore. You know, it's gotten to the point where not doing anything and being an obstructionist has become an actual viable alternative and a real policy. And I think that signals to young people, and quite frankly, older people, that if they care about improving society, there are many alternative means by which to do it. Why should you surround yourself with people who are hyperpartisan and who are not actually interested in solving problems? Mm-hmm. And that's the perception coming out of Washington, regardless of whether that's the reality.
So let's talk some about those alternatives. Young people are saying they would prefer to volunteer with non-governmental groups to entering politics.
Exactly. We were initially quite perturbed by the fact that 89% of young people said that absolutely no way would they ever run for office. But then we found that 77% said that improving their community and making the world a better place is one of their most important goals for the future. So when we asked people, well, how will you realize those goals, they said that they were interested in working for nonprofit organizations, working for NGOs, staging economic boycotts, working behind the scenes, volunteering. And so it's not that they're not interested in engaging the community. It's not that they're not civically engaged. It's they're not politically engaged.
Yeah, so maybe then it's not a big deal, or is it a big deal that 89% don't want to run for office?
Well, it is a big deal for two reasons. The first is that we have more than 500,000 elective positions in this country, and that means that we have a political system and a democracy predicated on the fact that people need to step up and run for these offices. So having an entire generation say, I don't really think that's for me, obviously should sound some alarm bells. But more importantly, there are certain things that only elected officials can do. Passing legislation, for example, can't happen at a nonprofit organization. Writing a bill and enacting it into law cannot happen through staging an economic boycott. And so it's important to communicate to young people that there are certain things that only elected officials and that only legislatures or executives actually have autonomy over.
Yeah. So some of the issues with recruiting young people to run for office also surfaced in the discussion, the debate over the replacement for House Speaker John Boehner when Wisconsin Congressman Paul Ryan was first being courted as a candidate for Speaker. One of his conditions was that he not have to work on weekends raising money, which he was granted. So if talk some about that and young people and their interest in politics.
One of the things that was really interesting to us was that this national survey of high school and college students didn't really uncover evidence that the mechanics of a campaign or an election were a major deterrent. In a lot of ways, young people hadn't even reached that stage yet. So we interviewed 4,200 13 to 25-year-olds. So this is a wide range of young people. But generally speaking, their visceral reaction to the idea of running for office had to do with what it would be like to navigate the system once they were elected. It wasn't that they were even thinking about how much money they would have to raise or how they would have to convince people to vote for them. It was more this yuck factor associated with the idea of having to deal with the other kinds of people that they perceive as likely to be politicians.
Yeah. So if candidates, though, would just refuse to act out the dysfunctional parts of being in office, would that solve the problem?
Well, part of it is that there are plenty, hundreds of thousands of candidates and elected officials who are doing an absolutely excellent job. And we also, despite the fact that congressional approval has been at an all-time low for quite some time, stuff does get done in Washington. Part of the problem is that what's unusual or what's particularly conflictual or what's very, very divisive winds up garnering more media attention. And in this 24-hour news cycle, it's very easy to just replay over and over again men behaving badly on Capitol Hill. So what happens is this national lens of the worst behavior winds up clouding people's sense of what most elected officials are actually like. Right? Most of these people don't even serve in Washington. And most of those who do are good people actually trying to represent their constituents. It's just that that's not very newsworthy.
Yeah. Ryan did eventually agree to be or to serve as Speaker. Can we learn anything at all from that episode when it comes to encouraging other young people into serving in office?
Well, I think a lot of it will depend on what happens over the course of the next year and a half. And he agreed to be Speaker with some conditions that would suggest that he actually wanted to get things done. And if he's unable to achieve anything, and if we just see another year and a half that looks a lot like the last several years, I don't know that that's going to be the jump start to the system that we need. And that has nothing to do with Paul Ryan. It has to do with institutional constraints that make it very difficult for any one person to fundamentally change the way Congress works.
We are talking with Jennifer Lawless, a professor of government and director of the Women and Politics Institute at American University, author of several books, including Running from Office, Why Young Americans Are Turned Off to Politics. And we're talking about why that is. Why are young people turned off to politics? Are you a young person? Would you ever run for office? 1-800-642-1234. Why or why not? Do you think it's a problem if young people aren't interested in politics? You can also send an email to talk@wpr.org. What factors do you blame for their disinterest, and what do you think would encourage more young people to run for office? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Lee in Appleton is with us. Hello, Lee.
Hi. I just wanted to talk about my daughter's involved with a program through the YMCA called Youth in Government, and it has really been a great program that has engaged her in the political process and actually has shown her different areas where she can get involved as she gets older. The program allows youth to learn about the legislative branch, the judicial branch, and the press corps, and then they each actually choose which part they want to be a participant in. At the legislative branch, they write bills, they debate them on the House floor, they actually go to Madison for a weekend and take over the Capitol, elect their lieutenant governor and governor, and argue and pass their bills, and it's really been a great experience for her.
And she does want to grow up to be a politician?
Yes, she's very interested in politics. In fact, she's gotten interested in local politics from her experiences through youth in government, and will attend town halls and council meetings and school board meetings because she realizes, you know, that once you're engaged and once you're part of the process, you can actually make a difference.
Yeah. Well, how about that, Jennifer?
That's exactly right, and that's what we found across the board. When young people have an opportunity to participate in student government or some kind of political extracurricular activity, when they gain increased exposure to the way the political system actually works, they're far more interested and they're far more likely to develop a sense of political ambition. It's not that young people are tuned out to politics, it's that they're turned off. But once they get a taste of it, they're often willing to exercise that interest. It's just that it's very difficult to convince them to take that initial first step because what they see around them is quite distasteful.
We will talk about other ways we might encourage more young people to run for office and take more of your calls and questions about why young people aren't entering politics. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
I want to grow up to be a politician.
We are talking about why young people are not entering politics. A recent survey finds a majority of Americans disapprove of the jobs their elected representatives are doing in office. Young people surveyed are expressing the same lack of faith and say that they would prefer to volunteer with non-governmental groups to entering politics. So we're talking about why this is and what can be done about it. Our guest says that a shortage of young politicians could exacerbate dysfunction in Congress and other elected bodies. And we will talk more about what we can do to encourage more young people to want to grow up to be a politician. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Interested in knowing if you are a young person and whether or not you would want to run for office and why or why not? What factors do you blame for the disinterest of young people in entering politics? Jennifer Lawless is our guest. She is the author of Running from Office, Why Young Americans Are Turned Off to Politics. Our next caller is Tim in Eau Claire. Hello, Tim.
Hi. I would like to run for office at some point. I'm consider myself to be a young person. I'm 30, but I'm not sure that it will be feasible for quite some time, mainly because of all of the fun that I had in my 20s. All of the fun that I had in my 20s would add up to a lot of scandal.
Mm.
And scandalous is not something that necessarily goes easily into politics, but if we look at the direction that the world is moving, if you look at, 15, 20 years ago, Bill Clinton said he smoked pot but didn't inhale, and Barack Obama said he smoked pot and inhaled because that was the point. So we're sort of moving in a direction that maybe in 20 years, the transgressions of my 20s might be overlookable.
Yeah, well, but if he wants to run right now as a 30-year-old, Jennifer Lawless, is he able to?
Probably. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, it depends on exactly what those transgressions are, but we have reached a point, especially with social media now, where it's gotten quite easy for people to dismiss behavior from earlier years as youthful indiscretions, just because almost everybody now has skeletons that have become quite public, given Facebook and Twitter and all of these other online mechanisms. The one thing I will note is that the one difference between what we found among the people we surveyed and interviewed and this caller is that the caller clearly has already decided that running for office is something that he wants to do. It's just a matter of when and what factors might make that more complicated. That's good, right? He's interested. Mm-hmm. The problem is that for so many young people, the thought of it never even appears on their radar screen. And then when it does, they immediately dismiss it, not because of personal problems or reservations, but because they just think the system is so broken and corrupt and bad.
Yeah. So would more civics education in high school, for example, put that on the radar at least of more young people?
Yes. And at the end of the book, Richard Fox and I propose 5 recommendations that might begin to help close this gap in political ambition. And one of them has to do with incentivizing political aptitude. And it is linked to high school and it's linked to college. It's possible right now to get into the most prestigious colleges and universities knowing virtually nothing about how government or politics works and not having any sense of current affairs or what's going on in the world. And so one of the things that we propose is linking college admissions to some degree of political aptitude, whether that be an entrance exam, whether it be an essay question, or even just a short little paragraph that students have to write about a concern that they have regarding politics or the political realm. Because what that would mean is that when they were in high school, they would have to develop some sense of following what's going on so that they could complete that aspect of the college application. When young people were told that college admissions officers valued volunteering, volunteer service among high school students went through the roof. And so it's possible that we could do the same thing by incentivizing political aptitude that way and ensuring that high school students are more inclined to follow what's going on in their communities, the country, and the world.
Yeah, so what are some of the other solutions?
One of the other things that we mention has to do with the gender gap in political ambition. Among high school students, women and men are equally unlikely to say that they're interested in running for office. But once you get to college, women's ambition stays pretty flat and men's shoots up quite markedly. So one of the suggestions that we have is to get college women, the minute they step foot on a college campus, to let them know how important it is to run for office, to encourage them to take political science classes, to highlight the importance of political activity, and to really begin to shape their political awareness. Because men seems to emerge on its own, women's probably needs to be cultivated.
Let's go to the phones again. Cyrus in Baraboo is with us. Hi, Cyrus.
Hi, Jim.
Yes, go ahead, Cyrus.
Well, I think that there's a terrible attack on education in our state of Wisconsin. There has been for some time. It was started many years ago in the 90s with Tommy Thompson. I remember going to school, hearing older people around me speak about the attack on education that was thrown down by Tommy Thompson, cutting teacher salaries, things like that. Over the years, things have changed a little bit, but there seems to be a continual attack on our public education, especially now from this administration. And I think that a large part of what's deterring people from participating in society, in our political system, is that lack of education about it, like the speaker was just saying. There's a huge lack of knowledge about how our system works. There's massive amounts of corruption in our system. Personally, I have thought about running for office, but I don't know if I want to open myself up to the type of scrutiny and public hatred that people seem to be so divisive about. There seems to be a lack of cohesion in American life, in Wisconsin life. Everybody is pitted against each other by extreme forms of media, and it's very hard to reach a consensus on anything. And I think, specifically in my scenario, the thought of trying to rally people behind a cause and make a cohesive message and a cohesive effort is lost because people don't have that understanding. The money in politics is ruining everything. We don't have a voice at this point. We are being snubbed out by large corporations And that is very disenfranchising. That is very disheartening to people who want to affect real change.
Thank you, Cyrus. You've brought up so many points. Let me get Jennifer Lawless to react. Starting maybe with that last point, that with all the money in politics, Cyrus, that says people feel helpless and that they can't do anything.
When we look at presidential politics and even some of the most competitive gubernatorial or Senate races, that's certainly true, and that's the perception. Even the typical congressional race now costs more than $1 million. But we do have 519,000 elective offices in this country, and the overwhelming majority of them, all but 537, are not located at the federal level. And most of these state legislative and certainly most of these local offices, so hundreds of thousands of them, involve relatively small-scale campaigns, not a lot of money. Many of them are not even partisan contests. The problem is that people don't know about that. People don't think about that. And they let this view of the national political scene, which in a lot of ways exhibits and, you know, showcases some of the worst attributes that you could ever imagine in politicians, dominate their way of thinking. And it's not people's fault. It's because they're not educated and schools don't instill the idea of even running for local office, right? So until people realize that there are so many more alternatives out there, many of which are so far removed from the aspects of politics that we hate, it's very difficult to crack that nut and encourage people to get involved.
Yeah. And what about, Cyrus did bring up, it's not just Congress, but in the state of Wisconsin, there's it's extremely polarized, and I assume many states are similar, that he feels that he doesn't want to be the target of hatred.
We do have increased polarization. We do have pretty polarized politics. But again, you know, a lot of it is contingent on the level of office that you're seeking and what types of positions you might be running for. Many local positions are nonpartisan offices. And we also know that polarization, even in highly polarized states, is more likely to occur at the congressional level. And so it is less prevalent as you trickle down. So getting involved at the local level where you don't have to deal with some of these partisan concerns might be a way to turn people on initially to the successes that you can have, not only when you run for office, but as an elected official when you try to pass a bill or enact a law or affect change.
Thank you, Cyrus. Scott on Facebook writes, I think young people have more compassion and a better moral compass than Gen Xers. This makes it more difficult for them to fit into the divide-and-conquer politics in which voting the party line and perpetual fundraising are the norm. I want to talk a little more on that.
That might be true, and that's certainly consistent. Well, although, as a Generation Xer, I think I'm still a good person. I do think, though, that the main point is that regardless of the reason, if this next generation is not interested in running for office, we have a problem because somebody is still going to hold those positions of political power. And if the up-and-coming young people who are the best and the brightest are writing those off because they think that there are different ways to affect change and there are different ways to bring about positive change, it's not like those offices are going to go unoccupied. It's that people who are going to have the same kinds of qualities and characteristics that we don't like in politicians right now will continue to hold them. And so I think conveying to this next generation the importance of running because there are certain things that only elected officials can do might be one way to infiltrate the system and get some new energy, get some new blood, get some fresh ideas, and maybe a different way of conducting business.
I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Jennifer Lawless, who's a professor of government and director of the Women and Politics Institute at American University, about why young people are not entering politics, are not interested in running for office. She is the author of Running From Office, Why Young Americans Are Turned Off to Politics, and we're talking about why that is and what we can do about it. How do we encourage more young people to run for office? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Lynn in Eau Claire is with us. Hello, Lynn.
Hello, Jean, and your guest, Jennifer. 30 years ago, when I moved to Eau Claire, I was 30 and told I was too outspoken to be in politics. I grew up in near Chicago, and was it was fascinating back then. And still, here in Eau Claire, it's the old guard who will not move aside for the younger people. We have a Bernie Brigade, and we have a couple of high school kids that come to our meetings, and they're not taken seriously. They're treated as infants, and it's pathetic. We need new blood. It needs to happen. You know, the old guard eventually passes on. And these people need to be trained in the ways and wiles of politics.
Thank you very much, Lynn. And I'm flattered to be confused with Jean Ferracca, but she's no longer with Wisconsin Public Radio. So the old guard won't let the new guard in, Jennifer?
I don't know if that's, I don't at all doubt the caller's experience. I don't know how prevalent that is across the country. What I can say is that in a lot of ways, that's a different problem. It's an important one that we obviously need to address. But my hunch is that in many communities, the old guard doesn't even have to confront that issue because the new people are not interested in putting themselves forward. And so in a lot of aspects of this, what Richard Fox and I are trying to do is encourage young people to at least start attending those meetings, see what's going on, and maybe that will build a sense of community and a sense of it's going to be our turn soon, and we're going to do everything we can to stay involved.
Yeah, Bernie Sanders is not exactly a young guy, but it seems he's excited young people. Do you see him encouraging more young people to get involved in politics?
I'm not particularly optimistic, just because in 2008, it's hard to imagine a scenario that encouraged young people more than Barack Obama, and we have not seen the fruits of those labors really bear out in terms of young people's interest in running. There's certainly nothing bad about candidates that might inspire young people in any one election cycle, or that suggest that they can relate to young people's interests, and millennials obviously have been a large support base for Bernie Sanders. Whether that interest and that activism will transcend this particular political election, though, probably remains to be seen.
I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Jennifer Lawless. She is the author of Running from Office, Why Young Americans Are Turned Off to Politics. And our next caller is Judy in Green Bay. Hi, Judy.
Hello. For a number of years, I was involved in teaching and in teaching specifically teachers about programs that were available to them. They were under the title We the People. One was We the People, the Constitution. In that program, students had to learn about various aspects of the Constitution and then had to be prepared for a mock Senate hearing on topics related to the units. The other program is We the People, Project Citizen. In that one, the students had to come up with public policy problems.
Yeah, and Judy, you're saying that we should get these programs back in the schools?
They are still available. They're not available for free anymore. But these programs, the Project Citizen aspect, kids had to see problems around them and then as a group had to select one and find out if it was local or state, what agencies actually would take care of such a problem.
Yeah, so the kids are actively trying to take care of a problem. Sounds like a good way to go about it. Jennifer Lawless?
That's exactly right. We know that increased exposure to politics, increased exposure to how government works, makes young people more interested in politics and government and ultimately makes them more interested in wanting to run themselves. The problem, of course, is that although these programs exist, they're not available to everybody. A lot of the time they're at the discretion of an individual teacher or a particular school district. There's no national initiative or national force behind the idea that it's important to get young people politically engaged. There is quite a bit of a push toward general civic engagement, but once we get to running for office and electoral politics itself, it's very political and people tend to shy away from that.
Thank you, Judy. Next we go to Alex in Milwaukee. Hi, Alex.
Hey, guys. I'm 23.
Okay.
So I just finished college, and I've been immersed in kind of how younger people feel about politics for the past 4 years. And in my opinion, I don't think it's a big deal that younger people are not getting as involved as maybe they have in the past, or maybe their older counterparts, just simply because, I support people's right to vote. I think it's your civic duty to be educated and take an active role in voting. However, if you're not, very well equipped educationally or with the experience to really have a firm understanding of politics, I don't think you should really be throwing out your opinion in terms of your vote.
Oh, so maybe I'm getting this. Maybe Alex is 23 right now, and maybe he'll run for office when he's 43, Jennifer, but not right now.
Oh, that's completely not a problem at all. We're not suggesting that 500,000 13 to 25-year-olds should throw their hat into the ring right now. But we do know from studies of adults that we've conducted over the course of the last 15 years that most people who ultimately run for office had the thought first occur to them either when they were in high school or college. We know from actual elected officials that the overwhelming majority of them say that it was something they plan to do from the time that they were in high school or college. And we know from a wide body of interdisciplinary research that the kinds of career aspirations you have when you're in high school map quite well onto what you ultimately do later in life. And so for us, the concern is if the idea does not occur to you at an early age, it's unlikely that it's going to be something that you pursue later in life. It's not impossible, but writing it off at an early age is a bad sign for the likelihood of it coming back as a desirable option 20 or 30 years down the road.
You know, I always hear about people who, in the process of growing up and, whatever, getting married and buying a house and paying taxes, that is when, I don't know, maybe it's a light bulb that goes off when you're 30 or so, where you start saying, hey, these things these politicians are doing affect me. And then you start getting, and then some people start even thinking of running for office, like what Clint Eastwood is an example.
There are certainly examples of that, and we do know that, when people start paying taxes or they have their first paycheck, they all of a sudden start caring about economic issues. But when we actually look at running for office, rarely is it the case that a 30 or a 40-year-old wakes up one morning and says, that seems like a good idea. The idea has usually been percolating for quite some time. And, it's in these highly politicized households. It's when your parents, when you were young, took you to vote or had political conversations with you. It's when you took a government class and had a really inspiring professor. It's when you used to watch the news with your families. Those are the kinds of experiences that actually have a lot of staying power and really affect that decision. So it's those kinds of things that, together with some external shock, make that light bulb go on.
So Alex, as a 23-year-old, has it crossed your mind that maybe someday you would run for office?
Yes, ma'am. I have aspirations in the private sector first. I was an economics major, and my dad is actually an economist. And I really think, as you were saying before, the financial understanding and kind of involvement really kind of sets a good pace and incentive to get involved in politics. You can see how the government interacts with the private sector, how regulation and commerce affects your company's bottom line as well as your own. So one day, once I've gotten enough experience, maybe achieve my financial goals, I would definitely want to get involved. I have a question to throw back at you guys. Would you want an individual who wasn't innately driven and innately interested in politics to be just running for office? Or do you really think you can teach something like political savvy to students?
Jennifer?
I certainly don't want people that are not interested in politics or that wouldn't know how or be interested in learning how to navigate the mechanics of a campaign or a legislature to run. But right now, we have a situation where we're not even giving most young people the opportunity, and politics in Washington, D.C. is turning them off to gaining the kinds of skills and the information that they might need to be inspired and to ultimately develop those kinds of skills. So I'm not that concerned if young people think about running and decide that they don't have the traits, characteristics, skills, or interest in doing it. I'm more concerned that it's not occurring to them, or they think about it very quickly and dismiss it immediately. If 9 out of 10 young people were dismissing the idea of becoming a teacher or a lawyer or a business leader or a scientist, we would probably have a national outcry. But because we don't think of politics as a noble profession, it just doesn't seem to get the same kind of reaction.
All right. Thanks, Alex, for the call. Be sure to remind me when you're talking with Wisconsin Public Radio for a candidate forum that you called into this show way back when. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Jennifer Lawless, a professor of government. She is also the author of several books, including Running From Office, Why Young Americans Are Turned Off to Politics. She was quoted heavily in a recent U.S. News and World Report article on why young people aren't interested in public service, reluctant to serve. Young people don't want to become politicians. And we're trying to figure out why and what we can do about that. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
I want to grow up to be a politician and take over this beautiful land.
We are talking about why so many young people today do not want to grow up to be a politician. We're talking about why and what it means for society and what can be done about it. How can we encourage more young people to take an interest in politics? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Jennifer Lawless is our guest, author of Running From Office, Why Young Americans Are Turned Off to Politics. In research for her book, she found as many as 89% of young people had no interest in running for office. 89%. Our next caller is Nick in Green Bay. Hi, Nick.
Hi, good morning, Joy. I'm calling in on this subject just because, well, I'm 28, and one of the points I wanted to bring up is what I feel has been the severe lack of education. You know, for me, through the K-12, through the college system, there's nothing that's really been, whether it's the public or private areas, that really pushes early enough the importance of getting involved in politics, whether it be on the side of whether you want to get into it or whether you're just going to be a regular voter. I don't think it started early enough. I think the amount of education that's really given is focused more on historical politics instead of current events. I believe that if we were given more chance to have the ability to discuss something current and talk about what would be coming up in the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years for kids or people in my generation or, the younger ones, we would have the ability to understand it more by the time we reach getting out of the college age. If we started in, say, middle school, if we started even in sixth grade saying, all right, this is the current political landscape, what do you see becoming issues down the road, and what do you see the solutions as being? If we had a way to teach that a little bit better, I think, whether you're a voter or somebody who wants to get in politics later on in life, there's more to be thought about, and there's more to be involved with. And it doesn't matter what level of education you end up at, at the end of your educational career, you'll be more involved. So I guess what I'd like to hear is, what thoughts are there on making this a more mandatory thing and making sure it's an involved thing at whatever grade level?
Mm-hmm. Maybe more current events and less history, Jennifer Lawless?
I don't know that we should have less history. I think more current events would obviously be good. But, 2 points. The first is that it has gotten to the point where curricula in public schools across the country have become these hotly contested issues. Whether we should teach evolution is up for debate. Whether we should teach about climate change is up for debate. So certainly injecting overtly political topics or things that could be construed as political or partisan are even more controversial, regardless of whether they should be. The one other thing I would add, though, and this is the second point, is that it's not only the schools. A lot matters at home, too. And in our national survey of 4,200 high school and college students, we found that 50% of them, in the heat of the 2012 presidential election, did not have any conversations with their parents ever about politics.
Wow.
80% said that they never had a political discussion with their families around any kind of meal. 70% said that their parents rarely talked about politics in the house. Only 20% said that they shared anything with their parents politically on Facebook or through email or in any kind of social media. So it's not just the schools. It's that parents are just as turned off to the political system. So they're not talking about this stuff at home. They're not encouraging their kids to be very politically involved. And then these kids go to school where they're also not getting that message. And together, those two factors really depress the likelihood that a young person will be interested. The good news, though, is that the families that do talk about politics and the students that do report education that has a political bent are 4 and 5 times more likely than those who don't to say that they're interested in running for office. So we know the kinds of things that work. It's just, how do we encourage families and how do we encourage schools to inject politics more into what they talk about?
Yeah. Well, do you have any ideas on how we might encourage families to inject politics at the dinner table or something?
It's a lot easier, obviously, to talk about what schools can do,
yeah,
because at the family level, the problem is the same reason that young people are turned off is the reason that their parents are turned off. You know, when you ask a national sample of adults what they think about politicians, they fare worse than used car salesmen. When you ask people whether you think that, you know, a random sample of people walking down the street would do a better job than the members of the U.S. Congress, 50% say yes. And so adults right now who have aspirations for their children and who want their kids to be successful are not thinking about encouraging them to go into politics. They'd rather they go into business or law or education or medicine, some kind of profession that's well respected.
Interesting. Well, that's a call to listeners. So listeners, do you hope your child grows up to be a politician? Do you want your child or your grandchild to run for office? Mary in River Falls is next. Hi, Mary.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I've been enjoying this discussion, and I see bits and pieces with which I agree and bits and pieces with which I disagree. First of all, it seems to me that, and I'm 79, all right, and I have been interested in government and politics since high school. My dad read U.S. News and World Report. I read U.S. News and World Report. We talked about the events that were happening in the world. I realized that was a very, very different time. However, my own children were brought up with watching the news, talking about what was on the news. If an assignment came home, and in one example I can remember in fifth grade, when how a bill became a law was totally mistaught, and we went down to take up the little encyclopedia that we had at the time, World Book, I suppose, and looked at the illustration and talked that through. Now, I didn't call the teacher. I didn't encourage my son to say anything. But part of the problem, I think, if young people are disinterested, is because they're not informed. And perhaps the reason they are not discussing these issues with the parents is because the parents aren't informed. I would venture to say that most folks have no clue how the political process works. How do you find that out? I think it takes some initiative and motivation on your own part.
Mary, thanks very much. Similar issues to what we've been discussing. I was interested in how she thought the school wasn't teaching correctly on how a bill becomes a law, for example.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I don't have evidence mm-hmm. to suggest that the schools are teaching incorrect information. Certainly, those things will happen from time to time. But she did bring up an important point that speaks to one of the other recommendations that we make in the book. And that's something that we're calling the Go Run app. Right now, young people get almost all of their information, or they expect to be able to access all information through the simple touch of an app. We know, for example, that, you know, more than 90% of them sleep with their phones next to the bed. Mm. It's the first thing they check in the morning. Yet there's no central clearinghouse that allows people to figure out what offices exist, what they could run for, what the responsibilities are, or what the qualifications of those candidates would be. And so what we're proposing is a national database that would collect information on all 500,000 elective offices and allow people to enter their zip code, and they would see all of the positions that represent them, from dog catcher all the way up to president of the United States. Because providing that kind of information could also make people that are even the least bit interested in running not have to engage in a fact-finding mission.
Thank you very much, Mary. John in Medford emails, young people are very progressive. This is one of the worst times in history to be a progressive, especially in Wisconsin, where we have cemented right-wing one-party government for the next 15 to 20 years. Why on earth would young progressives even bother with government? They simply can't accomplish anything. Well, how about that?
Well, the interesting thing is that young progressives are actually more interested a little bit than young conservatives mm-hmm. in getting involved in government, in part because they actually believe in the importance of government. What we have now on the Republican side are messages that suggest that government is not necessary, that it should be smaller, and that it should be limited. But overall, the party differences we uncovered were quite minimal, and it was young people across the board. It didn't matter if they were liberal or conservative, black or white, men or women, from the Northeast or from the South. Generally speaking, young people are turned off.
Cody in Oshkosh is with us. Hello, Cody.
Hi there. I agree with most of what's been said, other than the fact that young students aren't interested in politics. I have four children. They were all very interested. I think what turns everybody off is this polarization of all ages. And polarization is caused by gerrymandering and big money in our elections. And big money has an interest in keeping the status quo, where they keep making money and the rest of us keep losing. We need a constitutional amendment to get fair districting policies, fair election laws, and get big money out of our elections and out of our government, because they like it this way. They like us fighting about things that don't really matter. And I think a lot of people would be interested in going into politics, or at least being active in it, if they didn't think the whole system was a scam.
Yeah, well, maybe go into politics to get fair redistricting accomplished, Jennifer.
Look, there's no doubt that having fresh blood and new ideas would be a great recipe for bringing about some change. But what I would encourage everybody to really think about is the fact that everything that we tend to hate about politics, everything that makes us recoil at the notion of running for office, is really located predominantly at the federal level. Gerrymandering at the federal level and at the state legislative level do not apply to most local elections, and there are literally hundreds of thousands of local offices. So if there's one point that I make, it's that to the extent we can encourage people to think about politics not through this national lens, it might be a way to turn them on. They wouldn't have to deal initially with a lot of the things that people hate most about the political system.
You know, less than a minute ago, Will in Green Bay has an email that I will edit. Not to downplay, he says, the importance of running for office, but I feel there is so much more we as citizens can be doing at a local level to spur change that has the capability to help the state and the nation. 30 seconds. What about that?
No question about that, but the mm-hmm. fact remains there are 500,000 offices and somebody needs to occupy them. So I would feel better knowing it was the best and the brightest of the next generation that had the aspirations to do that, and that they weren't only interested in working in the community and behind the scenes. Together, young people eventually aspiring to hold all sorts of positions, both electoral and non-electoral, are what will allow for real positive change.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Jennifer Lawless, author of Running From Office, Why Young Americans Are Turned Off to Politics. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.